Jason Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday, and we told you, the captain, he's back. He's back on the show as well. Predators captain Roman Josi joins us now. Roman, how the heck are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We are fantastic, and I know you have to be as excited as we are to get opening night tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. But let's just start with this. I mean, there's been a lot with you and in your health. You look good. How you feeling?
Good. Feeling good. Yeah, it was, it was a good training camp for me, and I think for everyone else too. It was intense, hard training camp, but obviously for me it was a really good test, and I feel good. Felt good all throughout training camp, so I'm excited to get going.
When I've watched you in some practices and in some of these preseason games, you look, and I hope you take this right, you look relaxed. Like, you look like the Roman that I've known for a long time. Does it kind of feel that way? Like it's old hat, as they say?
I feel really good. You know, I feel like, obviously with last year, I feel like I kind of, you know, I got my jump back a little bit, and just, you know, the energy, the excitement of playing again and just being back. And I think, you know, for me, obviously it was good to have that time to recover and just get some answers. So, you know, a lot of time this summer, a lot of time to work on my game, work on my health. And yeah, it's definitely helping me now in training camp and to start the season.
Roman Josi is with us. A lot's been made about Andrew Brunette's system and maybe some tweaks. How has that gone this training camp with him making a few changes to what you guys do?
Good. Yeah, we made some adjustments, and you know, those things always take a little bit of time, and there's definitely a big emphasis on it in practice and in training camp. We worked a lot on systems. Like every day there was something that we tried to work on, and I think, you know, it'll help our game. And I think just in general, you know, like a lot of guys coming back, there's a couple new faces, but you know, we're pretty familiar with each other, and I think you know, now we have a year with all of us together, and year two, like, you know, we're a lot more familiar with each other off the ice, we're a lot more familiar with each other on the ice. So you know, I think that chemistry will definitely help us.
How excited? I know he's gonna unfortunately start the year hurt, but Nick Hague comes in and looked like he was gonna be your defense partner. How excited are you to have him once he's back and healthy?
Really excited. Obviously unfortunate that he got hurt in the first preseason game, but I had a couple of practices with him, and, you know, like one and a half periods with him in the game. And, you know, he's an amazing defenseman. You know, I played against him for a couple of years now, and then just practicing and playing with him, you know, you could really see up close how good he is defensively. Obviously, he's a big body, and he finishes plays, but he also has a lot of skill. Like, he's got an amazing first pass, and he's great on breakouts. So we're definitely pumped when we get him back.
So, you know, a lot of people, you know, obviously I know Hal Gill very well, and from the radio side, and he kind of explained what that could do for you, that having a guy like him or Willsby or whoever that can kind of be the stay-at-home guy and then let you move around the ice and do some offensive things on that side of the ice. So how much does that help you to have a guy that can kind of guard the stay-at-home spot and let you do, as Hal likes to put it, Josi things?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is huge for me, for sure. You know, it's kind of, for me, it's like a bit of a security blanket, you know, and to have a partner like that is kind of, you it frees you up to, you know, to go on the offense a little bit more once in a while, and just find those times where you can jump up. And like I said, if you have that partner that's just, you know, he's really reliable defensively, and it just gives you, you know, that extra security blanket. But at the same time, I think both guys like Hex and Willie, you know, Willie's an amazing skater, and Hex, he's got some great offensive skills too. So you know, I don't want those guys to stay back. They gotta jump up in the play too, and then I know they will. So it's just, I think, about finding times where I can jump, finding some times where they can jump. But both of those guys are definitely, you know, they're really good defensively. They skate well. So like I said, it's definitely a security blanket for me.
Predators captain Roman Josi is here with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. Some young guys, including the fifth overall pick in this year's draft, Brady Martin, have made the opening night roster. What do you, as a veteran, as a captain, as just Roman Josi, what do you say to those guys, especially Brady, who's going to be playing in his first NHL game likely tomorrow night?
You know, he's got an amazing mindset. You know, he's obviously, it's pretty impressive what he's done in camp, and just like coming in at that age and being able to make a difference in your first training camp is pretty impressive. And like I said, his mindset is great. He's a confident kid, and I think you know, you just let him play, let him have fun. And I think when you're that young, you kind of don't even know how big the moment is. You just kind of come in every day and you enjoy the day and have fun, and it feels like that's what he's doing. And I think you want to keep that as long as you can.
What's crazy is I've talked to him a couple times. He doesn't seem like he's 18. I mean, he just seems very mature for his age.
He is, yeah. He is. He's very mature. And just the way he plays, too. Feels like there's a lot of maturity in this game. And like I said, he's a great kid. I mean, he's awesome. He's very respectful. But he's also very confident, which is an amazing thing. And but it's a really good confidence, and you can tell the way he plays. You know, that's why he was able to make an impact. And you know, we love having him here. He's, like I said, he's a great kid. He's fun to be around.
Well, you know, when we talk about bounce backs and things like that, how excited are you to see UC this year? Because I feel like being around him, and you've been around him a long time. You know, he's quiet, but you can tell he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's like, hey, I deserve to be the goaltender of this team, and he's a very talented goaltender. So how much pride do you take in that? But also how much, I guess, responsibility do you take in that for playing in front of him and making sure that he has the help that he needs?
Yeah, a lot of pride. I mean, he is, you know, I think maybe a lot of people don't know this about Chuse. He's the hardest working guy you'll meet. He's, you know, the way he prepares for practice, the way he prepares for games, and the way he practices, he's unbelievable. He's very driven. He wants to be the best, and he is the best. You know, I think we kind of let him down last year as a team, the way we played defensively. You know, we didn't help him at all, and that's something we take a lot of pride in, especially as defensemen. But as the whole team, we want to be better defensively for him. There's so many times we left him out to dry last year, and like I said, there's so much confidence in our room. We know he's one of the best goalies in the world, and I can't wait for him to go out there and show it, and for us to be better in front of him. And he's gonna have a great year.
Well, we're looking forward to it tomorrow night. Roman, thanks so much again for doing this. Best of luck tomorrow and for this year, and I know we're gonna be talking to you quite a bit, but thanks as always.
All right, thanks guys, appreciate it.
And that, of course, is Predators captain Roman Josi joining us here on the program. We'll have a key player join us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock here on the Chasing Big Joe show. So opening night, it's tomorrow. The Plaza Party, it gets underway at 3 o'clock. The Gold Walk, that starts at 4 o'clock. So be out there. You can watch guys like Roman walk in. And then, of course, the opening night game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They'll drop the puck just after 7 o'clock. Max Herz will have the pregame show here for you at 6. So you are not going to want to miss that. And then tonight, as a part of DVD, from 5 to 7, will be the Predators season preview show. Max Herz is going to join Willie and Adam as a part of that. 5:15, head coach Andrew Brunette is going to join the show. And you'll also hear from Pete Weber and Hal Gill throughout as well. So it is going to be a lot of Predators coming up over the next few days. And, of course, they play the Mammoth this Saturday at 7 o'clock as well. So you're going to want to check that out. We will talk a little bit more about this Predators team. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe on this Wednesday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We appreciate Roman Josi, Preds captain, for joining us. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, of course, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Predators, Blue Jackets, tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Opening night, we're working on a few things from the Omni tomorrow in honor of opening day, but really looking forward to that.
There we go. All right, you time for this is Fast Questions at Chase from Big Joe the Fan about
okay.
Predators.
All right.
That's okay. There's no music here, Dr. Crane.
You're right. He was ready.
All right, UC Soros. Concerned? Should I be happy? Should I be prepared for a disaster again? What should I be prepared for?
I think you should be prepared for a bounce back. How big of a bounce back that is, I don't know. Barry Trotz was on DVD yesterday. Adam brought that up with him, or actually Derek brought that up with him, and you know, Barry was quick to say, you know, last year was a down year. The year before, he won a lot of games for us. I think the big thing is they have to play better, and Roman talked about that too. They have to play better in front of him. He's okay. Got to play better.
We're the next
one. But they got to play better in front of
him. We just heard from Roman Josi. Is he 100%?
Yes. I think he is 100%, and I think you're going to see a determined Roman Josi that my guess is – if he plays the way that I know he can play, he's going to be back in the Norris conversation.
Okay. Stamkos, is he able to get what he did in Tampa? I don't count last year. Last year, to me, I'm thrown away. But does he still have part of that Tampa left in him where he could be an elite player?
I don't know if he's ever going to be that level again, but I think he can still be an effective player. I thought it was interesting that Trott said yesterday that the moving, everybody wanted to blame everything on getting settled in Nashville and moving. That part was easy. It was the hockey stuff that really was tough on him. And I think a new system and the way Brunette wanted him to play. But they've talked. The system's been adjusted. I think Stamkos is in a better place. So do I think he's going to be the same elite, you know, Hall of Fame guy that he was in Tampa? Probably not. But I still think he can be a good player.
All right, you got it just in time. Good job. Brady Martin, they have a guy on their team who can't legally drink. How does he fit into this team?
That is going to be interesting to see tomorrow night because he's centering the first line with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly's moving out to the wing instead of center. So he is the first line center for opening night for the Nashville Predators. He's going to have to grow up real fast. Now, the other thing is, I've noticed he doesn't act 18. He definitely is mature for his age. Roman Josi just talked about that in the interview. So we'll see. Basically, what they can do is they have 9 games to figure out, is he ready or does he need to go back to juniors? If he goes back to juniors, he's there the rest of the year. So that very well could happen. But he also could prove that he's ready and he stays the whole season.
What if he turns out, this situation turns out better than anybody imagined. How does this help the hockey team?
Cannot wait to hear the people that just dogged this pick backpedal.
Okay.
But also, look, this team's never had the true superstar stud center, and if he becomes that, then good on Barry Trotz. Good on these scouts.
What player on the team should I know about who's not going to show up on the stat sheet but is so invaluable to this hockey team?
That is a really good question. I would say he's hurt right now. He's not going to play tomorrow, but I would say Nick Haig, who's the defenseman that they acquired from Vegas and then gave an extension to. He's a big fella. And if he's paired with Roman Josi, which is, I think, what they want to do, you're going to see – like he's going to make a big difference in allowing Josi to get away from having to stand at the blue line. He can move and be an offensive type defenseman like Yossi's been his whole career. And he's not going to show up on the stat sheet a lot, but at 6'6", 245, I think he can make a big difference.
Who's a young player on the team right now that within 4 to 6 years we'd be saying, this guy is good. He's got a big contract. He's good. What a great draft choice by the Preds.
Besides Brady Martin?
Yes.
I hope
it's being talked about. Somebody.
Well,
just kinda...
he's being talked about, but I hope it's Joakim Kimmel.
Okay.
Because he's 22, but was drafted several years ago. He's been working his way up. He's Finnish. He's the one that laid that big hit in the preseason game and then scored in overtime to win the other day against Carolina. I'm hoping it's him. I mean, I think they're hoping it's him. But, I mean, there are a few – like Reed Schaefer is in Milwaukee and starting in Milwaukee. Tanner Mullendijk is another one. But guys that are actually, like, making the team, Joakim Kimmel, I would say.
Tell me why Andrew Brunette will be the head coach after 10 games.
because Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, Jonathan Marchessault, Steven Stamkos, Juuse Saros, just to name a few, are performing at the level that they need to perform at, and the team is winning.
Can Philip Forsberg go from great to elite?
Yeah. I think if he wants it enough, which I believe he does,
okay,
and you know, gets the proper help, I mean, he can score 40 again, and or maybe even 50. I mean, he's a natural goal scorer. It's just he can't be as streaky as he has been.
How crucial is Ryan O'Reilly to the success of the Preds?
I think he's very crucial. And I think, you know, you saw him have a year you didn't expect 2 years ago, and then he fell off. If he can get somewhere in between that and just be an effective, good, steady player night in and night out, then what I'm talking about with Forsberg can, because they have good chemistry, I think can come to fruition.
Really dumb question on my part, but I'm good for that. On paper, is this Nashville Predator team as good as any other team in the NHL? On paper.
No. Well, like you're talking about Stanley Cup winning?
Yes.
No.
Because you got Shea, Marchessault, Stamkos, Forsberg, Josi. I mean, on paper, that's some pretty good damn players right there.
It is, but I'm not going to sit here and say they're ready to go win the Cup, because a lot of people jumped to that conclusion, including myself, last year. Or I didn't say they were going to win the Cup, but I thought they'd be a playoff team for sure.
Right.
And they were one of the worst teams in the league.
How crucial the first three games?
Extremely. You asked Andrew Brunette, is he going to be the head coach in 10 games? If they start off 0-3, I don't know if he's the head coach in game 4. Ooh. I mean, look, it's part of the business. But and Barry Trotz is being loyal. He's being, I would say, overly loyal, because David Poile was loyal to him and gave him a chance as a young coach to prove himself. And so I feel like he owes that to Brunette. And I don't necessarily disagree with it, but at some point, are you going to loyal your way out of a job? And that's what he has to look at some point. But
final question. And then I got it. Stupid intern. Final question. Do you trust Barry Trotz?
Yes, I do. I think that I understand why some fans don't, and that it's hard to, because you're not seeing the results.
Mm-hmm.
But he has stuck to his plan, and he uses a lot of analogies of the plans written in pencil, and you know it changes
right.
and stuff like that. The dude won a Stanley Cup. He helped build a team from scratch that, you know, in today's standard probably would have taken too long, but under the rules that he had at the time,
mm-hmm.
he got a team to the playoffs, you know, relatively soon. And then the lockout happened, and that kind of set him back. But the rules were a lot different. So I think he knows what he's doing. The only thing I would say is he's got to, if things start off slow, he's got to be willing to make a quick decision.
Okay,
that could be tough.
All right, one more. Oh, they've rang it. One more real quick. What Nashville Predator player has to have the best year ever for this team to be good? What one player has to be elite?
Juuse Saros.
And that's it? I mean, that's not it, but that's the guy.
It starts with goaltending. I mean, he has to. You can easily say Forsberg. You could say Marchessault. You could say Josi. But it starts with the goalie. If you don't have goaltending, and look, I know that teams have proven that you don't have to have elite goaltending to win a Stanley Cup,
yeah.
But you have steady goaltending. And he's got to be locked in.
Okay. All right.
That's what I think. So,
well done there.
Thank you.
We'll reevaluate that and get back to you this afternoon.
Yeah. And if you got text, 615-737-1025. Brian Callahan spoke a little bit earlier. Could a player return this weekend for the Tennessee Titans? We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
How's it looking for Latham?
Positive for him. We'll see how the week goes, but so far this week has sort of met the benchmarks necessary to keep pressing forward and hopefully get him some work at practice this week.
That was Brian Callahan earlier today, asked about J.C. Latham. So could he be back? Could he play this weekend? for the Tennessee Titans in Las Vegas.
Well, didn't I see that the Pro Football Focus said that the Tennessee Titans offensive line, that was the best protection job since 2019?
It was good. The interior especially. Like, I know the interior was graded really high.
So Dan Moore played well, and whoever played right tackle, I cannot pronounce his name to save my life.
Ali Udo. Now he's making me be a little
I don't know.
About how I'm
whoever's
saying
playing right tackle. I apologize. I cannot pronounce your name correctly. But, look, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's protecting Cam, giving him time to throw the ball. But I want you to go back. The tip ball at the end of the game where Arizona intercepted and they fumbled the end zone, he was about to throw a rocket, an absolute rocket, to Calvin Ridley in the end zone. And the question, like, would have Ridley caught the ball? From the angle I saw, not only would he have caught the ball, it would have hit him in the chest so hard he ended up in Utah. He just, I mean, he went back and cocked his arm and just let it go. I mean, that was something else. So protect Cam on Sunday, give him time, and let him ad-lib, man. Let him get out of the pocket, make things happen. He does so well. And this is a great team to do that to on Sunday. Plus, I'm told, Chase McCabe, that there are a blank ton of Titans fans heading out west.
Like, I believe it.
Every flight is sold out. And, like, Titans fans are already out there, I'm told, in Vegas. So you might have a lot of Titans fans.
I mean, why not? Like, it doesn't matter that the team's bad. Like, go out there, go to the game. It's a cool stadium. You're going to really enjoy it. I've been for SummerSlam but the with Ricky. But the stadium is great, and it's Vegas. There's obviously a lot to do. So why not? I mean, I look at schedules – you know, for the Preds, for Titans, whatever, every year, and find, like, hey, I want to do that as a road trip. And this was a no-brainer.
I think it'll be fun, like, for me, the first time out there. But I think this is a good matchup for the football team. And win this game and have confidence for when Daddy comes to town next week and worry about that. But this time, just worry about the Raiders getting it done and playing well. And, you know, look, again, got lucky on Sunday. As I tell you all the time, I'd rather be lucky than good when it comes to winning a game, and the Titans were certainly that.
Yep. So we'll see. We'll wait for the, you know, some of the reports from practice on whether Latham was out there or not, but I thought it was interesting him saying he's doing the things he needs to do, and the signs are there that it could happen. So
the NBC is running a banner right now that says Bill Belichick, coaching legend under scrutiny at UNC.
This is one and done.
Is this the ticket scandal that's going on now where the players got their tickets and they sold them on a secondary market or something? If I read that correctly. But coaching legend Bill Belichick under scrutiny
at UNC. So I heard somebody say this, and I can't remember who it was, so I apologize to give credit. It may have been DVD, but that they're going to break up in the offseason. He's going to dump her, or she's going to dump him. So they're going to break up, and then all of a sudden, it was you that said it. That's right. Sorry, Dr. Crane. But I heard you say that, and I'm like, he might be onto something. How'd you put it?
I put it as they're going to split up in the offseason, and everybody's like, oh, Bill Belichick, he's back to normal. And then Jake mentioned that
all the NFL
teams will go after him. And I think that's a very valid option for NFL coaching options and stuff like that.
So hot take, because I put this in the hot take category. He's back in the NFL next year.
Hot take, he's never coaching again. Pete Carroll's a disaster at 73. Will he be 74 next year?
I don't think Pete Carroll's a disaster. I just don't think that team's very good.
He's head coach. I got to blame somebody. Fine. Might as well blame him.
He doesn't have a quarterback.
But this at Carolina. And now Carolina, they're not allowed to tweet out about Drake May because he's playing so well, because Belichick has this hissy fit about Vrabel and the Patriots. And I mean, the guy's a
disaster.
You
talk about butthurt. You want to look up butthurt in the dictionary, and Bill Belichick's picture is there. About the Patriots. Like, dude, you won 6 Super Bowls, and it was time for you to go.
Yeah. Plus,
like, Kraft is saying all the right things, and, like, Vrabel's like, he's welcome here and stuff. Like, just get over
it. He likes to create a little drama that goes on there. But did you look at, was it tickets?
Yeah, the players just sell them on secondary markets.
And they were like, there's like video of him telling them don't do it, and then they do it and all that other stuff.
Yeah, they're selling comp tickets. So basically those comp tickets, you can't sell those on a market.
But who the hell wants to buy tickets to Carolina games?
Well, yeah, who wants? But right. Why is that on Belichick? If he's telling them not to do something and the rules are there and they've been and they go and do it anyway, like I hate it when people are like, well, that's your fault. Why? I did what I was supposed to. I told them not to do it, and they did it anyway.
Well, I guess, again, somebody's got to get blamed for it.
Well, blame them. Coach. Suspend them. But they suck anyway. Maybe that'll help him out.
But regardless, did I see his son has a man bun?
Probably. Steve?
Yeah. The defensive coordinator. Like, he's the coach in waiting.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody likes him. I'm reading all these reports. Like, nobody likes him. It's a disaster. Carolina's a disaster. And I'm telling you, when they get rid of him, who wants to hire that? They've already stopped the documentary. Hulu, did you see that? They put the they said, no more. We're done with that. Nobody wants to see it. So he thought he could bring that bravado to the college ranks. Everybody's like, nah, it ain't working that way. Too bad, buddy.
He's just played – like, he's played this thing completely wrong. He – you know, I thought for the year he was off, you know, he did McAfee and he
looked
would
human.
Do some TV and it was good.
Yeah.
And, like, he showed who he was because – the funny thing was, with being around Floyd, Floyd would tell Belichick stories of the guy you saw last year. Like, that was the guy he knew. So it was, like, cool that we were all getting to see that finally. And then I have no problem with him. I mean, good on you if you were able to date a girl 50 years younger than you. Great. That's whatever. But when she started taking over and controlling things and being in meetings and then he gets the Carolina job and stuff, it's like, all right. Now this is becoming too much.
It is.
Of a publicity stunt.
Right.
And not something that Bill Belichick would do.
Well, think about this now. When you think about Bill Belichick, are you thinking about the six Super Bowls? Or are you thinking about the disaster?
No, I'm thinking about, yeah. I mean, and mm-hmm. Look, does it completely wreck his legacy? No. Does it tarnish it a little bit? Yes, because you're going to go, like, 20 years from now, yeah, Bill Belichick, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. Man, that was weird at the end. It's kind of like Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brett Favre, one of the greatest, but he had a bad last year with the Vikings and then all the stuff after.
Yep, all that. You're right.
You know, so it's like you, especially with the internet, all that stuff is there, and it's never going away.
Yeah. You know, it's funny with these coaches. Like, when Saban went to Miami in 05 and 06, it was okay. I mean, the teams were competitive, but that wasn't him. Lou Holtz said the greatest mistake he ever made was leaving, I think it was Arkansas, to go to the Jets for a year. He was 2-14 with the Jets.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to go back where I belong. Bill Belichick does not belong in college football,
no.
And he'll never coach again. Would you hire this?
Yes, I would.
Why?
Because, and it's, okay, it goes back to ego. Because if I'm a coach, I think I can coach anywhere and fix anyone and all that stuff. If I'm an owner, I think that my organization is the best ever. And if I go get a 6-time Super Bowl winning coach, that he's going to be great again in my organization. It's all about ego. So I think somebody would hire him.
And not see what you saw out here. And I just
now,
don't think
I think happened. The conversation behind the scenes might be like, is she gone? then maybe.
Yeah.
But I just, like, if Pete Carroll is one and done, and if he and Brady are cool, I think Mark Davis does that.
I wouldn't hire him. No, I'm good.
I mean, man. I think.
You're not getting control. I'll tell you that right now.
Jerry's not doing it because Jerry's not going to give him control.
Miami.
Now, Miami's an interesting one. I am shocked. I really thought he was going to get the Atlanta job. I really thought he would be the head coach of the Falcons.
I'm telling you, they don't want him.
Maybe
and
so.
And you're seeing the nonsense that's going
Maybe
on
so.
Now. And then you see his record without Brady, and then you're like, oh, I really don't want him. That's what it is, man.
I just think there's an NFL team out there that would say, hey, let's bring in Bill Belichick. He's only 14 wins away from tying Don Shula for the all-time record. All he has to do is go win 6 games 1 year and then maybe win 8 another year or whatever it may be, 7-7.
Great would it be if he took over the Dolphins job and beat Shula's record as head coach of the Dolphins, because he hates Shula for some reason. That right there would be he. I could see Stephen Ross, the Dolphins.
Stephen Ross, that could be the one,
because that gives you the oomph to get in there and get it done. Because Mike McDaniel's terrible.
They're stuck with Tua.
But who's one of his best friends?
Which who?
Who? Belichick. Who could give him insight on Tua? Saban.
Oh, Saban. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, like, and again, it's ego. Oh, I'll fix him. Now, the question is, would Josh McDaniels leave Vrabel and go be Belichick's OC? I don't think so.
I think Vrabel leaves McDaniels alone.
I think so, too. And I think McDaniels likes Drake May, and Drake May likes McDaniels, and they have that relationship.
I love it, man.
So, 615-737-1025. More discussion on that next, and back to our question of the day as well.
Yeah, which our question of the day is, I need a movie from you that you love that nobody's ever heard, nobody knows anything about it. What's a movie that you love so much that nobody's ever heard of? 615-737-1025. Let us know that movie that you think is just the best, but nobody's ever heard of it.
615-737-1025. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game.
It's a pretty good movie here. This movie is called The Lady in Red, I think it is, with Gene Wilder, Kelly LeBrock. It's a funny movie, little rom-com back in the mid-80s.
I love Gene Wilder.
I'm telling you, man, Silver Streak, Stir Crazy, Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles.
I mean, that's his best. Willy Wonka was funny, too.
Yep.
I thought he was good in that.
But. Funny story. Mel Brooks came to town and was doing his one-man show, and he talked about Gene Wilder, that during Blazing Saddles, Gene Wilder was very distant from everybody. And so Mel Brooks walked over and said, hey, I see you writing, you're not talking about it. What are you working on? He's like, well, what if Frankenstein had a son that didn't want to be in the business? And Mel Brooks like,
huh.
I got it. And then they wrote Young Frankenstein was written during Blazing Saddles.
That's crazy.
And that's how they got it, man.
Our question of the day, speaking of movies.
Yes. What is a movie that you absolutely love? It means the world to you that nobody's ever heard of. For me, it's a movie called Coupe de Ville. Look it up. Watch it. It is so amazingly fantastic. That's our question. A movie that nobody's ever heard of that means the world to you.
Joey from Gallatin, there's a boxing movie my dad showed me growing up that I've never met another person who has seen it. It was called Gladiator. It's a 90s movie with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. That's a great movie. And the kid from A Few Good Men, the other dude, the little white guy in that, he's in Gladiator 2 in that movie.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Ian from Woodlawn says, best movie that no one has ever seen, Invisible from 1991.
Oh, okay. Look it up.
Randy says, The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. Your demographic ranges from early 20s to late 60s. People like me in their mid-60s have probably heard of it. 50 and under, not so much, but that's mine.
The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Yeah, The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Okay.
So there's a...
Better not be adult theme there, pal.
By the way, Justin and Greenbrier said, I missed some of the shows this week, but I wanted to say that I'm very thankful that you were okay, Big Joe.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all. I'm not allowed to say anymore, but thank you.
There you go. Bear wants to weigh in. Hello, Bear.
Hey, guys. Those are some good choices. Gladiator. Yeah, that movie was awesome. But, I would like to say this movie called Who Made the Potato Salad? And it's starring Jaleel White.
Who ate the potato salad? Why have I heard of this?
Who made
the potato salad. Okay.
Yeah.
What's it about?
Jaleel White, he's getting engaged to his girlfriend, and she takes him home to meet the parents for the first time. And he's a cop, and the dad is like an ex kind of Black Panther type guy, so he hates police. And so, you know, you got that thing, and then you meet the grandparents, and the grandmother's kind of senile, and, you know, it's just a funny movie. Tiny Lister's in it, you know, Debo. Clifton Powell, the guy that played Peaky and Friday.
Okay, all right,
the girl's dad, Yeah, you know, when you see the thing, you'll know, recognize a lot of the characters in the movie.
Well, you had
but
me
it's basically them having Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay, you had me at Tiny Lister. That guy, great, massive.
Now,
dude.
He's only in it for a few seconds, but he's pretty funny where he's in it.
That's good. Every movie's better with him in it.
Oh yeah.
All right, appreciate you, Bear. Thanks, Bubba.
All right, thank you, Joe. Yep.
Who made the potato salad?
There you go.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Did you have a note? Did you come up with one yet?
Well, I said 6 days, seven nights, and then I think I said another one. A U571.
Yeah. There's got to be one that nobody's ever heard of that you're like, ah, oh, yeah. I like this.
Did you ever see the movie with, what's his name? Robert Downey Jr. I think it was called Heart and Soul.
No.
Okay, so it was about, like, there was these people on a bus, and the bus crashes, and they die. But they're ghosts, like, they have unfinished business, so they don't go to heaven yet.
Okay.
And
I'm liking this.
And so they, I'll have to pull up the cast, but Robert Downey Jr.'s in it. It's one of his early movies. And as a kid, as a baby, he's the only one that can see them. And so they, like, spend... You know, he grows up and they're like with him and protecting him, and they all go through their journey of their unfinished business, and like one by one they all complete their unfinished business and then get to go to heaven.
Okay. Heart and Soul.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
All right. Our good friend Chip Walter says Lords of Discipline is a great underrated movie. Thank you for that, Chip.
1993. Great.
Heart and Soul.
Heart and Souls. It was so it's got Robert Downey Jr., Charles Grodin's in it, Alfre Woodard's in it, Kyra Sedgwick, Tom Sizemore, Elizabeth Shue. We just had her birthday. Yep. She's in it. Yeah. So that's that one.
All right. Good. There you go. Yeah. I like that's the question.
Oh, David Paymer. You would know him.
Yeah. He was in City Slickers.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is another good movie if you haven't seen that one. So, all right, boys, I'm out. Have fun. I'll hear you on the radio tonight. MTSU takes on Missouri State. Game's on ESPN2, but please listen to Total Hits 93.3 because Chip's voice and my voice sound a lot better than these ESPN guys.
Well, we will be watching or listening.
You better.
To you and Chip and everybody else involved. Tell the crew I said hi.
I will do that.
We'll hold it down for you. Dr. Crane and I will take you home. You'll hear from Cam Ward coming up around the bottom of the hour. We'll have more coming here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.